Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So now we have Brett McMurphy reported yesterday that Joe Moorhead, former Mississippi State head coach and Penn State offensive coordinator, will be the next offensive coordinator at Oregon. And Bruce Feldman says, among the offensive coordinator candidates for the Oregon vacancy, I'm told that Tulane's Will Hall, Rams assistant Jed Fish, and LSU analyst Jorge Munoz really impressed in the interview process before Cristobal has opted to go with Joe Moorhead. So it appears now you have the big guns all saying it will be Joe Moorhead to be the offensive coordinator, former Penn State OC and Mississippi State head coach. We talked briefly about kind of what his philosophies are offensively.
Yeah, what do you think it is?
Well, it is a lot of it is he is a guy that, and this is all just reading up and reading interviews that he's done, listening to a couple interviews last night that he did on what his offense is, right? And here is what he says. He said that he kind of, it's all about meshing of versatility in his offense. That's what he wants to do. Okay. Here is a SB Nation article with Bill Conley that he did where he went down the pillars of his offense. Okay. One is use the same personnel as much as possible, right? This is one of the things that we talked about on Monday with the San Francisco 49ers. I absolutely love about Kyle Shanahan is he says defensive coordinators have a problem with personnel, not as much, the formation. So if you get a personnel on the field, say one back, one tight end, or two backs, one tight end, whatever, 21, 11, whatever personnel it is, he says we want to go and put as many formations at you out of those personnel groupings. So he is a guy that will formation you off of mismatches.
Okay.
He said defensive coordinators don't really know the formation you're going to line up in. So when you're in a certain personnel grouping, you have to make a defensive call and it's going to match up against the formation that they can align in.
Well, that's great. Right? I like the philosophy. I like the sound. I like the experience. I got to give anybody that's hired as a coach, you got to wait and see. Wait and see what they produces. Wait and see kind of how the players respond to it and how the calls mesh with your head coach. I said it before, your head coach really is the identity of this. Will they work in conjunction with each other? Of course they would.
He is.
But will there be some headbutting moments? I would expect maybe a little bit of that because it's always, it's the honeymoon stage when you sit in an interview and say, yeah, I'm going to run this and I like this and like this. But there might be a couple situations where they're on the headsets with each other, which is typical. That's what coaching staffs do and they work together. I wonder how much Coach Cristobal will still put his thumbprint on this. That's my word of the day. Two words. Compound word, thumbprint. It's two words. How much he will still be involved in the offensive mindset and scheme.
So what to expect if you see a personal grouping, he's going to stick with it. That's what he likes. Number two, we talked about this earlier. Empowering the quarterback is something that he's big on. And I was, what the hell does that mean?
Well, it means that if you want to be relevant in today's college football game, you better have a quarterback that can play.
Well, and this is kind of these are his quotes on what that means. He is talking about, one of the benefits of our system is that we don't have to stick with the play. If it's a look that you don't like, just get into the play that attacks that look. And so he'll run a ton of RPOs, but he empowers the quarterback. He gives basically a recommendation on the play that he thinks the defense will line up in. And he puts a lot on his quarterback. Hey, if you don't like the play, go get into something you want to run. Okay. And he gives him that liberty and he'll recommend a few plays that he thinks will be good against different looks that you get, which is let the quarterback make the decision because he's the guy who's on the field making the call.
Yeah. That's almost today's modern offense. That's not revolutionary for me. That's what RPOs are. There are three chances. You can run, you can pass, you can option. That's what RPO really does mean. There are multiple options and multiple things. Checks, one side, all those. That's standard college football nowadays.
But he's saying get out of the RPO. Check out if they're in man. He says we don't want to run our RPO game at all.
Yeah,
we're gonna. Yeah. I'm giving the quarterback some free reign there, and it is different from an Oregon standpoint because how many times do we see Justin Herbert step up to the line of scrimmage, do his fake clap, look over to the sideline, hey, what do you guys want me to do, and then go and get it? His is, hey, I know our preparation leading up. You can do whatever the hell you want. Don't look at me. It's your call.
Well, I don't know for certain, and I don't know if you do. I'm not questioning what that is. I don't know for certain that Coach Arroyo or Cristobal did not give Justin Herbert more options. Looking over and looking for a play call might be something that says, hey, we're waiting to see if the defense moves, if it shifts, if it does anything, and then we'll make that call. Then within that call, you have an option to pick from there. None of us are in those meetings, so we don't know what Justin Herbert had or what he did. We do know that Justin Herbert could play. And empowering a quarterback is what you should just, that's remedial number one. Mm-hmm. You're learning that at, if you're a good quarterback, you're learning that as a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
You're learning how to make those decisions.
And this is one where he's saying our system, you'll learn it inside and out. So go ahead. Here's one that you got. Slap a read onto nearly every run to never put yourself in a position in which your quarterback does not have options. I'd say, he says, quote, I'd say 85 to 90% of the runs we call has some second phase or a tag on it. Mm-hmm. So that's your RPO or a read for the quarter, true read for the quarterback. Okay. Rarely do we just call a run and hand it off without having the quarterback read somebody at the first, second, and third levels. So you will get mesh points. You will actually have a read on every single play where, remember Justin Herbert not pulling it. That was a criticism of Oregon players. One of his third core philosophy is tag a read on every run play.
Well, just like watching Oklahoma, just like watching Alabama and even LSU and certainly Clemson, coordinators and good offensive play callers now, like a Joe Brady, who's now, I mean, Joe Brady might be a head coach next year. I mean, that's what this guy, I mean, right? he's been elevated so quickly and put as this czar of football because he did something revolutionary. Well, no, he brought a system that the Saints run to a college athletes who are littered with 4 and 5 stars. So you still need some Jims and Joes. That's kind of what this is. How smart can these guys, how quick can they adapt? Is the terminology going to be the same? Are they going to have certain keys and words that are along the same line? Because sometimes when somebody brings in a new system, it's learning a whole new language. That will be how fast these guys can learn it in the spring.
Yeah. And this is one that I really like. And this kind of goes to that point. And what you're saying is, he said, it's about the players, not the system.
Yes.
Defenses will always try to dictate the reads that you make. We got to stay one step ahead of them. And so one thing that he is in this is, he is what was the term that he said earlier in the show? I have to go back and find that quote, but it was, it's about versatility and flexibility. Oh, it was, a synthesis of a bunch of the most versatile offenses in the country is what he wants to be. Yeah. Right. So
I like the way that sounds.
It's one that's has baked as much flexibility as possible in both the tactics and quarterback.
Yeah, why pigeonhole yourself into one spot?
He's not.
Why say, I am a I back running game. We are a 2-back scheme. Why pigeonhole yourself into that?
And I think one of the things that, you know, Oregon fans were so frustrated in is he is stay one step ahead of the defense, right? How many times, what was the biggest criticism Marcus Arroyo got? And even Chip Kelly got this a lot as well. And every coordinator gets it, is why are you doing the same thing over and over again, right? And that is kind of the stay one step ahead of the defense. It's about the players on the field. And that doesn't just mean the offensive players. He says it means about the defensive players as well. You know, it's about the players, not the scheme or the system. So he says the success of our offense isn't contingent upon one phase being that much better than the other. So that's kind of what you're getting. And then he will always adapt. He says, always never stopped adapting. The fifth element of our philosophy is to do more with the man than the system, which is basically building off of number four. So those are your five pillars. Does that sound like the guy who's that gets Duck fans excited? You know, I mean, does that get you excited as a hire for offensive coordinator? Every stop he's had, Fordham, UConn, Akron, Penn State, Mississippi State, production's gone up.
Yeah, I think it's good. I don't know. I want coaches to prove it. I think he's already proved he's a successful coach. Now, does he work well with what Oregon wants to represent? Let's hope so. If you're an Oregon fan, let's hope so, because you're going to have continuing great recruits. Recruiting classes are starting to pile up. How you implement your system, But can you keep Joe? That's the other thing. When you hire a really good, talented coach who's somebody that everyone's going to come call and you have success, next thing you know, you're doing the same hiring process. It's tough, but that's what you do when you're a great program. You go after big guys and you develop and you bring in and you learn more. And that's the, it's not a punishment, but success, everybody wants a part of it.
Yeah. Joe Moorhead expected to be named Oregon's offensive coordinator. The five pillars of his offense, according to an interview he did with SB Nation, as Bill Connolly, use the same personnel as much as possible and formation them with that personnel to create mismatches. Empower the quarterback. He can check at the line of scrimmage. Slap a read onto every run that they have. So your reads for your quarterbacks and your receivers in the RPO game. It's about the players, not the system. And the fifth one is never stop adapting. That is a little get to know Joe Moorhead. It sounds like the next offensive coordinator for the Oregon Ducks, according to Bruce Feldman and Brett McMurphy, two big-time national reporters.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.